Alright, so on myjoyonline.com this morning, ECG urges prepaid customers to top up to last 1 month ahead of system upgrade. Now, this was all contained in a statement dated yesterday, Sunday, 24th of November. I'm going to read it. It's a very short statement. It says, the Electricity Company of Ghana wishes to thank all our cherished Nuri customers for their support and cooperation during this upgrading exercise. Nuri customers who could not upgrade their meters or may have difficulties topping up credit should call our contact center on 0302 611 611 or on our social media platforms at ECGGH official, or visit the closest ECG district office for assistance. ECG regrets any inconvenience caused during this exercise or the concerns arising from our earlier request to top up enough credit that would last for at least 1 month. Help ECG to serve you better. All right, let's get some clarity. Charles Niaiku is joining us. He's the general manager and general manager for external communications in ECG, and he's on the phone right now. Saiku, good morning to you.
Good morning to you and Wesley.
All right, now let's get some clarity. First of all, are customers still required to top up for at least a month?
No, please. Good morning to your listeners. Yes, so we completed the rollover on the 24th of November. So as we speak, customers are not supposed to top up. Yes, and we said apologize for the 1 month announcement that we issued. That created the panic. We thought that for our new customers who were not able to reach at that particular time, we were urging them to top up as we get or as we reach out to them.
Right.
So that's why we issued that statement.
Okay. So the actual process has been completed?
Yes. But then we are still on the ground upgrading our new customers meter.
Okay, so how is someone supposed to even know whether they are a Nuri customer? I don't.
Fortunately for our meter, we have the meter names inscribed on our meter. So on the, you can check on your meter and you find the name of the meter inscribed on the meter. Secondly, you can also check on any receipt. ECG receipt that you have, the name of the meter is on it. If you are using the power app, it's also there. When you go through the customer details on the app, you find the name of the meter there.
Okay, are there particular areas of Accra where the Nuri meters have been installed?
Okay, so the new meters have been installed in three regions: the Accra East, Accra West, and the Tema region. Fortunately, we've been able to complete the Tema region, unless there are a few customers who were not available when we were doing the upgrade. They can contact us, call our call center number 0302-641-641 or our Swebna platform for us to assist them. Accra East, we have Legon, Kwabinya. We've completed Teshin, Accra West, we have Achimota, Dansoman, Kaneshi. We also have Adenta, Dodwa, Makola, Roman Ridge. But fortunately, we've been able to complete quite a number of customers' Nuri meetings. And we do urge our customers who were not available at that particular time to contact us. When you contact us, we'll move straight to your premises and we'll do the upgrade for you. And if it also means that your meter has to be replaced, we'll also do that for you. And this is at no cost to the customer.
Right. So, to clarify, there was indeed an earlier statement from ECG asking people to top up their meters for a month in advance, correct?
Yes, please.
Okay.
And that was quite unfortunate, and we do apologize for that. As I indicated earlier, this was to make sure that customers, new customers, are able to at least get some credit as we get closer to their premises to upgrade their meters.
Right. So now that so the upgrade... I'm sorry. Now that the upgrade is going on, are there some customers who will not be able to top up their Nuri meters?
Exactly so. So, if you are not able to, or your meter has not been upgraded, it's advisable, or would like to urge you, plead with you, to get in touch with us. Because it's possible we came to your premises and couldn't find you, or you are not available. Yes, so you can get in touch with us, and then would come to your premises, or yes, to upgrade your meter.
Okay, let's do it this way. So if I have a Nuri meter currently, mm-hmm. and I didn't do the 1 month advance, today, if my meter hasn't been upgraded, can I still top up?
No, if your meter has not been upgraded, if your Nuri meter has not been upgraded, you'll not be able to top up.
So
because the SPA, the upgrade affects topping up or prepayment. So if you've not been upgraded, it will be difficult or impossible for you to top up.
So why did you withdraw the instruction for people to top up in advance if you knew that you would have this problem?
Because the rollover ended on the 24th. But before that, we sent messages to our customers. We sent SMS. We were in their communities. We engaged them throughout the period.
And, how will I know?
So before it ended on the 24th, we urged our customers to top up. Because we were still on the ground trying to upgrade our customers' meet to the second edition of the rollover.
Okay, Nee, how would I know if my meter has not been upgraded or if it has been upgraded? How can I tell?
Good. So if your meter has not been upgraded, one key indicator is that you are not able to top up. But if you have enough credit and you are not able to, or your premises have not been visited for any update, then it's advisable that you get in touch with us.
And how often would you be doing these upgrades?
No, this is after this upgrade, the next upgrade will be in about 30 years. So it's not a regular issue.
So to clarify, if I can't top up, then I've not been upgraded.
Yes.
But I won't know whether I can top up or not until I run out and I'm trying to top up.
Exactly.
That's when I'll discover that I can't do it.
Yes, but it's advisable that if you're a Nuri customer or you are using a Nuri meter, you make sure that, or you get in touch with us for us to assist you in this upgrade.
Sorry, can you say that again? We should get in touch to ensure
that. If you are a Nuri, if you're using a Nuri meter as a customer,
mm-hmm.
we would urge you to get in touch with us through our call center number 0302-611-611 or through our social media platform, or visit the nearest district office, DC district office, for us to do the upgrade for you, so you'll be able to top up your Nuri meter.
So if I call the call center and I give them my meter number, they'll be able to tell me whether it's been upgraded or not.
That's also another way you can verify.
So they will be able to tell
yes,
me.
Because you have a list of our customers who are using the meter.
Yeah, is that not a more practical way than saying I should wait till I have to top up?
Yeah, so I'm trying to give you the various options available to you as a Nuri customer.
Okay, and this top up that you talk about, after the upgrade, would I still have it or I lose it post the upgrade?
Please come again.
I am asking, the credit that I top up, would I still have those credits after the upgrade?
Yes, please. You still have the credit after the upgrade.
Now, Ni, would you agree with me that the information and engagement on this issue hasn't been the best?
I do agree that we've been able to engage our customers, send messages to our customers, reach out to our customers through our various platforms. But it's also possible that some of our customers were not available or could not get this information that we sent out. Because it's a specific meter issue, new meter issue, we targeted our newly specific customers.
Yeah, but Ni, I got to hear this over the weekend, or I think on Friday or so, or Saturday, because people were asked, I think on Friday or something, maybe Saturday. Then I went to check.
Are you a newy?
No. I am not.
Okay.
But
okay.
I am not. But
that's,
it was
possible.
No. Hold on 1 minute. Please hold on 1 minute. You'd understand.
Okay.
I mean, it was then that I decided to check my meter, and I realized I wasn't a newy. I didn't have a newy meter. But there are a lot of people who became concerned and asked the question, why are we getting to hear this now? Because there are people who have actually called and said they've had challenges in the past trying to top up and just did not know what the problem was.
Newy customers?
Some of them are.
Well, very sorry about that, and I do apologize to our customers for this inconvenience. But we tried to reach our newy customers.
How did you try to reach them?
We sent messages to our customers. We engaged them because they are in specific areas. We sent SMS messages specifically to our customers using newy meters. We went to their various communities to educate them. We engaged the opinion leaders in the communities. We used our information banks and all of that. And as I indicated earlier, because it's a newly specific meter issue, it's not a widespread issue. It's not every ECG meter, newly meter. So we targeted our customers in these specific areas.
Well, I mean, one of the users of the newly meter just sent me a message that says, I didn't receive any message. So that's one for you.
I've received about two. I've received two myself, both saying that they didn't receive any SMS messages. I've also received a message from a listener who says that he called the call center right after you said they can call to find out whether the Anuri has been upgraded or not. And the person she's talking to has no idea how to check whether or not the Anuri meter has been upgraded.
Really? Well, that's unfortunate. If you could kindly share the customer's details number with me, I would get the customer immediately.
All right. Listen, Charles. What? If just before you leave us, if you can walk us through the process and what Newry customers should do, just one more time for everybody's education.
Thank you very much. So, if you are a Newry customer and your meter has not been upgraded, please call our contact center 0302-611-611. Or please, on our social media platforms, our Facebook, our TikTok, our Instagram, our Twitter, X or Twitter pages, at ECGGH Official, or visit our district offices, the nearest ECGGH office, offices for assistance.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time with us this morning. Charles Ni Ayiku is the General Manager for External Communications at ECG. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Your morning radio.
Of the Africa Center for Energy Policy on the phone alongside Nana Mwesi the Seventh, who's the Executive Director at the Institute for Energy Security. Gentlemen, good morning to you both.
Good morning to you, and your co-panelists.
Wonderful. Here's how I'd like us to start. A quick recap of what Engineer David Asamoah, Acting Managing Director of ECG, said over the weekend.
The truth is that majority of this debt is as a result of forex shortfall. Each month, forex alone will lose about 37 million on a monthly basis. So if you get the money and you pay, getting the dollar becomes a problem. Sometimes you even make payment like what I paid yesterday. It will take sometimes days, weeks before they get it because of the dollar. If it's going to be serious, I'll pay the money. But when you pay, now the banks will have to get the dollar to convert before they pay. And by the time they convert, if the dollar increases, then it means that you still have further shortfall. Mm. So with the payment, we are doing the best we can to pay. And we have an agreement with them now. How it's going to be paid. ECG will be paying part. Ministry will come in. Also, and they have had that conversation. Just yesterday in the evening, they sent me a message that they have agreed with the ministry on their portion. So if the ministry takes it up, then they resume. And I spoke to the ministry, and the ministry has also agreed. So the coming days, Sonia Asebi will be back. Not with the coming days. The reason we are unable to do a full-scale schedule for them to follow is that the shortage is not consistent. As I speak with you now, right now, specifically, there is no shedding because today, off-peak, we don't have any shortfall, not even zero. We are good. Everybody's having supply. So as we progress, getting to the peak, we'll get the figures for the peak. Then we'll be able to know the quantity we have and how to share it. But specifically with Ashanti region, if you go specifically with Ashanti region, yesterday the total load we shared was just about 130. That is nationwide, not only Ashanti, nationwide. And we distributed them according to the regions, specific regions. Ashanti was part, Greater Accra, all the regions. Ashanti had, I think, about 20, 30 megawatts. I think about 25 or so, very right here. So it is not that Ashanti keeps going, but the problem with Ashanti is that to get that quantum, that about 20 or 25 megawatts to share. Normally, if in the cities, that suffered more because that is where you can easily get that quantum. Okay. If you take it to the rural areas, then it will have to put virtually everybody up, and that is unfair.
All right, let's get to it. Ben, I mean, I heard you over the weekend as well, talking about how government has turned itself or created this, situation where it's consistently paying bills that it shouldn't be paying, since the system should be self-funding. But the truth is, the problem is because of debt. Let's start from a position of solutions. What needs to happen in order for the next government to not inherit a power crisis?
Thanks, Pedro. I think, the solution rests with ECG, essentially. And, I mean, when I heard the engineers speak, you could clearly see that they have comfort in getting money from government to always pay their bills. Hmm. And therefore, there isn't much energy to actually collect revenues or account for the revenues that are collected, effectively. And that is why we keep depending on government to pay the bills. It is a simple matter of accounting for how much power you have been given, and then raising the equivalent money to pay everybody in the value chain. For every unit of electricity that is sold, there is a component for distribution, there is a component for transmission, there is a component for generation, and also a margin for the regulators in the space. So one entity cannot collect the money and sit on it and decide to use it the way they want or decide not to be effective enough to collect the revenue when it is their job to do that. And essentially that's where we have failed as a country to actually make sure we deliver that value at the benefit or at the distribution end of the value chain. Right. And if we don't fix ECG, its collection efficiency issues, we'll be having this conversation all the time. We'll be coming back, talk about potential DMSO, and never get it fixed. And government will continue, as we keep highlighting, continue to pay the bill when, you know, the consumer is supposed to have either paid or supposed to pay. You know, those who pay don't get their money well utilized, and those who are happy also stealing the power keep doing it, because there is no energy to actually deliver value to the consumer and to the Ghanaian populace.
For some, the solution is privatization of the collections, ECG collections. Do you agree?
No, the whole country agreed in 2014, and there were processes to actually deliver that, because it is essentially been government and how government has treated ECG as a slush fund for the politician to play. You know, so that is where they do all the kinds of procurement they want. They appoint people they want to sit on boards, in management, and they don't deliver value. So they waste resources, and government keeps paying. So we agreed 2014 that we need to set processes in motion to get private entity in to do the needed investment and be able to ensure that power generated, transmitted, and distributed will translate into money, all right, to pay the value chain. And we went through a process up until 2018, and then 19 a private entity came in, and the whole transaction was flawed somehow by the same people who wanted to give ECG to themselves, and it had to abrogate it somehow. So it is not a new conversation. It's something we agreed that we needed to do. We are 10 years behind schedule, and the incentive to actually deliver a clean private sector participation, there is no political will to actually deliver that. And that's why we still have this problem on our hands. And if you track back between 2014 and now, government probably would have spent not less than $30 billion trying to address this power sector challenges.
Nana, what sort of energy sector will the next government inherit?
The new government will inherit an inefficient power sector, debt-ridden, without the necessary investment put in place to revive it. It won't have that. It won't be that lucky to have the resources and opportunities this government had. Today we have problem with our installed capacity or dependable capacity. We have problem with fuel supply. We have problem with the catch waterfall mechanism. We have problem with ETLA. And so all the levers, the necessary levers that that may guarantee a reliable power supply is non-existent. And it's missing. And so the next government will definitely have to invest in the sector, resolve the issues relative to the inefficiencies largely in the ECG system to bring us to normality. And that could take more than 2 years. And so DMSO, we said it last year, that whoever forms the next government will inherit a DMSO situation. And it will require substantial investment, some discipline when it comes to financial management to bring us to a point where we want to have a stable power supply. So that's what the next government will inherit.
Where will this investment go? Is it mainly debt payments?
Of course, some will have to go into clearing the debt payments. But of course, the larger investment that have to be made in the distribution segment of the power sector. Ben did touch on the botched PBS ECG concessionary arrangement, a very good mechanism or arrangement that was supposed to invest in the grid,
resolve some weak lines problems, transformers, capacitors, have a robust distribution segment, and we lost that opportunity. We have to go back to looking for money to fix the inefficiencies in the system. That's where largely the investment have to go. But then for the other utilities, if we want to move away from a distressed power sector, then we should look for money to resource them, because today land maintenance are not being adhered to by the utilities. And I mentioned both the government utilities and the private utilities. They are just resorting to corrective maintenance and sometimes forced shutdown before they begin to look for resources to fix the problem. And so these are some of the things that we need to do.
Right, there are several areas to discuss. You've talked about fuel, you've talked about the cash waterfall mechanism or the debt, you've talked about ESLA and so forth. Let's start with the fuel, and I'd like to hear, you know, from both of you on this. Currently, my understanding is that our thermal plants are being fueled with crude oil, but we've all been made to understand the cheaper way to do it is gas, and we're producing gas. So why are we using fuel instead? What's the problem there? I'll start with Nana and then I'll hear from Ben as well.
Kojo, 2017, we have had opportunity to migrate from reliance on imported liquid fuels to our domestic natural gas, which is cheaper, which is closer to us. And so we've moved away from both price risk and supply risk, quite cushioned. All that we needed to do is to ensure that our gas was flowing and we are optimizing the use of our own gas. We've not seen any investment in the Ghana gas for additional processing trains. And so today you have a bulk of the natural gas produced from our own fields either fled or re-injected, a lost opportunity. So that's the fuel bit. And so because we're not having much from our own domestic point, and sometimes we could even have the gas, but then the translator, WAPCO, may refuse to transmit the gas. And we've seen even a letter last 3 days indicating that they want to undertake some pipeline cleaning and all that. That becomes a restriction of on gas flow.
Why does WAPCO refuse on occasion to transmit our gas?
It is still about the same financial constraint in the sector. Government today, as we checked, owes WAPCO in excess of $20 million. And they're also crying the same way that IPPs are crying. So once in a while, they will either restrict the flow of gas by closing their valves or resort to forced maintenance. And some of them will think it's intentional. Just to get government to pay. And I'm sure government sometimes doesn't care because they believe that they can resort to liquid fuel supply, an opportunity for somebody also to rake in money. And so it is still the same mismanagement stuff we're talking about, even though we have domestic natural gas supply supported by Nigeria gas. We still resort to liquid fuel because that's where our interest is, and because we have not been sound and efficient in managing the financial space of the sector.
Let me bring Ben in on of fuel and natural gas. It sounds, if Nana Mwisi is right, that we are deliberately creating an inefficiency by relying on the more expensive crude just to carry out procurement scams. Is that really what we're saying? Because $20 million just so that WAPCO can reliably transmit our gas and we can have cheap fuel seems a very small price to pay, but we've not paid it. Do you agree that this is all deliberate just so that somebody can import crude and make money on it?
I mean, the political settlement issues around the energy sector is quite deep, and sometimes you struggle to make sense of a lot of things that happen in the value chain. I mean, if you take WAPCO, for example, their bill perhaps will be the one of the cheapest in the sector. I mean, the smallest in the sector, I should say.
Yeah.
Because it's about $3 million a month. So how does that even compare to $20 million without paying? So it essentially tells you that you are doing backwards about 6-7 months without paying them. All right. And the incentive to pay is always not there. So anybody can question why you're not doing that and rather procuring like crude oil for generation. All right. You don't need to have any crystal ball to look into it to suspect something is amiss in there. Beyond that also, we don't pay on time. We don't pay the gas suppliers. So recurrently, you have ENI going to Stanchart to draw down on LCs, where we are even now owing over $400 million, you know, beyond what the IPPs are talking about.
How much?
That much. Over $400 million have been drawn down on our LCs.
By ENI?
By ENI, which we have to find money to go and pay at some point for gas supply. So gas has been used to generate power and sold to consumers. We couldn't recover the money to be able to pay them, and they have to draw down on LCs for government to look for money to go and pay. Ghana Gas, I don't know what is going on in there. There are too many shutdowns for a gas processing plant, and something has to be done about it. We need to look into why that persistent shutdowns and valves and compressor issues at the plant. Now, car power cannot even generate because they don't have enough gas coming in. And also because of the debt issues with ENI, they have to curtail at some point from about 245 scf to about 171 contractual volume so that they don't have to supply more and not get paid. That has been resolved somewhat to bring them back to the optimal production. But they are still racking up their debt, in that space. So fuel security has become a big issue because of the inefficiency of procurement and also the non-payment liquidity challenges in the sector. And if we don't fix, like I keep saying, we don't fix the distribution end to make sure that there is money to pay everybody and improve efficiency in ECG itself, we're not going to be able to fix this problem of doomsaw on our hands.
Ben, this is Mamavi. Why have we allowed ECG to do whatever it is that they like? You know, listening to you and Nana do the analysis, a lot obviously depends on ECG, and we've allowed them to have their way.
It's a whole, political settlement conversation, I keep saying. It's not just ECG. If you unpack it, you see why they are brazen to do what they do when politicians also go in there to take what they want. From procurement gigs, some are also happy to pay because at the Ministry of Finance, they decide who gets paid. And that also has its own political settlement conversation around who gets paid. Sometimes you even see plans that are not generating getting paid, and you ask yourself, why are they being prioritized, in that payment scheme? So people are happy doing things that we need to unpack to see where the challenge really is. But it's a total mess of the power sector that we need the political will to say we are giving up interest, personal political interest, to allow power to be supplied to the economy efficiently to feed industry and consumers. Without that, there is no solution anywhere, because the way procurement is done in that space, it's just people being happy to take procurement decisions than actually fixing a problem that is so germane and important for the sustenance of the economy. If you look at the IMF program, for example, one key milestone was for ECG to at least stay current so that government deals with the old debt or the legacy debt. They haven't been able to stay current, and there's no energy to push them to stay current, and they're doing all sort of procurement. At least saying on Newsfile that if you check the procurement of ECG, there is not a single item, whether a service or an equipment, that is not 2 to 3 times on the minimum, at the minimum, more expensive than the shelf price. All right. So why is that happening and nobody cares? You know, nobody is really willing to deal with this inefficiency of mismanaging the utility. And we keep, you know, talking about government bringing money and paying for electricity bills when it has been consumed and people are actually abusing the revenue.
So, you know, what can the people do? I mean, it comes back to us, right? Because when the light goes the most.
Absolutely. I think that is where perhaps all of us are failing. How do we demand that the right thing is done? How do we ensure that we are not sacrificing our budget? It's your tax revenue that has actually been used to pay. And sometimes when you say government has paid the bills, as if some people conjured money from their pocket. It's our money that they are using to pay bills that have been paid by the consumer already. Or somebody decides that people should steal the power and they don't get the money. We have done a lot of work in this space, from abortion meters to, you know, tracking some of these illicit connections, and nobody is taking action. There are people in the ECG, when businesses have consumed power to the tune of millions, they go and destroy the meter. They call it abortion meter. And the record is waived off, and then they bring new meters. And then debt is created, and the budget absorbs it, and it becomes who gets paid is also at the Ministry of Finance, and people are making money, and the problems keep piling up. You know, so we need to demand that the right thing is done. We need to demand that once there is a regulator, which is the PURC, and we have seen the mess in that space where PURC cannot even regulate ECG. Once there is a regulator, we then need the private sector to be there so that the government can focus on regulating the private sector with the authority of the state, you know, to protect all of us and not to be part of the business and still pay the regulator who cannot regulate, you know, the business side of things. And that is the mess that we are actually creating, you know, and it's costing us a lot more than it should, you know, at this point.
Nana, how long until we're back in Dumso?
Well, I don't think we are moving out of Dumso anytime soon. Like I said, it could take us 2 years to bring some normality to the power sector. And so as long as the ECG is inefficient, to the extent that you can even find some prepaid meters that have not been recharged for a year, still having power, it tells you how deep-seated the inefficiency issues are. And so until we address the inefficiencies, largely in the distribution leg, do so assist with us. And so it's kind of a combination of investment, discipline, and adherence to, you know, mechanisms that have been positioned to ensure that we are getting the needed revenue and distributing it equitably and fairly to all the power utilities. Dumso is not going away anytime soon. And it's so much, much unfortunate that we get to this point, because if you look at the kind of opportunities this government had, we shouldn't be anywhere near Dumso. And for sure, this government did not inherit Dumso. Rather, a very good, you know, situation, very good power installed capacity, a very good source of fuel, Etla to back you to clear your legacy debt and also give you some additional revenue stream. You have your domestic source of fuel, a lot of combination of factors, which we give them a better position. And then the simple question, answer to your question is that Dumso will be with us for, let's say, 2 years until we clear the inefficiency, because it may be that we needed just about 250 million in 2018, 2019 to fix the inefficiencies in ECG. Today, let's expect billions of dollars to fix the same problem, because if you defer a plant maintenance, then you are ready to undertake an expensive corrective maintenance. And so, unfortunately, Kwejo, Dumso is not going away anytime soon, because the hole that is dug is deep, very deep. And until government leaves power and a new government is formed, you won't even see how deeper the problem is.
Yeah.
And if you, today you take a condition sheet from GRIDCO and it's labeled private and confidential, it started 4 days ago. Today, the same condition sheet that you could find even our power exports on it, they cut it off. And people have been threatened not to release information. So bad a situation. Why is government suppressing information? Well, let's see what happens next year.
On that sinister note, I say a big